This interview is brought to you by Panasonic Lumix G cameras for today's photographer. Okay, I'm here with Mr. Trey Radcliffe. As you can see, we are in a Google Hangout with several people that are watching us do this interview live. This is the very first time that I've done an interview like this, and I think it may not be the last. This was at, of course, Trey's suggestion that we do an interview using Google Hangout and invite people in here to see how we do it and see all the nasty underpinnings of what goes on before and after one of these interviews. So here we are. And the main topic that I pinged Trey yesterday about so that we could do this interview today was Google Plus. So I wanted to chat with him since he seems to be surfing the forefront of the wave with regard to Google Plus. And I think Trey, you've already got 7 million people connected to you on Google Plus.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened. They do have that ranking list. Not that ranking's that important, but it is interesting sort of as a talking point. But I think photography is going to be really big on Google Plus. Somehow I got into the top 50, out of the however many number of people are on Google Plus, and it's sort of snowballed. And I've been trying to use that unexpected power to recommend other photographers and put together lists so that when people first come into Google Plus, they can find some really pretty things to look at and kind of have a nice, rich visual experience in Google Plus.
Yeah. This is really interesting. So let's back up a little bit. So for the folks who may not know who Trey Radcliffe is, give me the 3-minute elevator pitch about who the Trey Radcliffe industry guy photographer is.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't much like
talking
about myself.
Come on, whatever. You're a great photographer. You pioneered.
I'll just go through it.
You brought HDR to the masses. You got books out. You got a publishing company. You travel the world. Come on.
So, okay, the hub of everything is stuckincustoms.com. That is the main blog. It's a travel photography blog. Every day I put up a new photo. We just reached a point where we get about 175,000 views per day. So from that sort of core, we have launched all these various ancillary activities. We have an ebook site called flatbooks.com. Mm-hmm. We have a free HDR tutorial on the website. That's sort of the bread and butter of it. But we also have a downloadable one with 11 hours of video that you could pay for if you even want more.
Yeah.
We have several different apps out there. We really just kind of used it as a nice way to connect with photographers all around the world, and really even people that would not necessarily call themselves photographers, because photographers, to a lot of new people that are just starting to take pictures, when they think photographer, they think sort of the scary uncle.
Yeah.
And that's
or worse,
that's
not the, or worse.
Right, and that's not really the milieu that we're going for.
Yeah.
And it's just been a great opportunity to meet all kinds of people all around the world, and we're kind of going through this together. We're all learning to take better photos together, so on and so forth. And that's kind of the general feeling of the community and the blog.
Yeah. So you Trey, just in general, your history, and it always strikes me when I hear you talk, like I heard you talk at Google when they did the Google Talks and they invited you up. And one of the things that stuck in my mind is that you haven't been doing photography for all that long. I mean, there's people like, I'm not going to say me, but there are people that have been doing photography for decades and that haven't realized the success and the notoriety that you have. How do you reconcile that? Why? How did you shoot so high so far, so quickly?
Well, are you just trying to say that I'm a lucky hack, Fred?
I didn't say that.
Just go ahead and say
you
it.
You said it. I didn't say it. No, of course not. But clearly you're doing something different than other people are doing. I mean, there's the whole idea that, great artists starve and great marketers don't. Is it because you're a great artist and a great marketer? You have a hybrid of that, or how do you attribute it?
So my background is all computer science and math. And kind of despite that engineering-centric background, I've always been very artistic and creative, and had all kinds of creative juices, flow out in every which direction. And yeah, photography is a relatively new sport for me, I guess. Yeah. You know, only about 6 years ago or so. But in a way, I think that has really been beneficial. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I didn't know the rules. I understand there's a lot of old school photographers that put a lot of merit in being raised old school through film and these traditional techniques. In some ways, I feel quite free in that I don't know the limitations of film, and I really know very little about film. And so when I went into the digital world, I went right into it not knowing anything, and I made all my own mistakes and corrected them very much in my own way and found my own path. You know, I never really took a class on photography or read a book on photography. And I really do believe in sort of the self-discovery of becoming an artist online nowadays. And this is a really interesting process to me. And then meanwhile, I think my background in computer science and math helped me understand network effects. It helped me understand Pareto distributions. Mm-hmm. It helped me understand how and why to connect to people online, because, you know, I don't do it just for, you know, marketing and these blind self-promotional purposes. I get as much out of talking with the community as they get from me. So it's mm-hmm. a completely mutual thing. You know, I don't think, oh my gosh, I got to go spend 2 hours, you know, marketing myself today. I think, man, I get to go on Google Hangout. I get to talk to all these great and interesting emerging artists all over the world. And it's sort of a tremendous thing. And it really feeds into me. And in a way, the blog and everything I do, just sort of a digital expression of my natural self.
Yeah. You know, and one of the things that hit me also when I talk to you is that, you know, we talk about, okay, I'm going to go to this conference. I'm going to Photo Plus. I'm going to Photoshop World. I'm going to WPPI, whatever. All these different conferences are going on. And one time I was in Texas, I think, and you picked me up from the airport, and we were talking about something about some conference. And I was like, are you going to this conference? And you're like, oh, I don't go to those things. You know, I hate these conferences. What are these conferences? I hate these. I don't go to those. You know, explain that. So, why don't you go to conferences?
My reaction wasn't quite as vitriolic and derisive as you're making it sound. It was more like I just have never been to a conference. I've never been to a photography conference. And people always ask me if I know certain photographers, so on and so forth. And often I don't. I'm in my own world. And I think that there is something to this, in that as you know, I'm obviously very independent minded, but I think a lot of photographers are very independent minded. And maybe I shouldn't say anything against conferences, because it is a very big industry and there's a lot of people that depend on them and a lot of people that really enjoy them and they go there to see their friends. And I understand all these reasons to go to conferences. However, one of my reasons for not going is that I feel like if you get into this, I keep getting phone calls, I'm sorry. I feel like if you go into these situations where people are talking about a certain kind of photography or they're showing a certain way to do something, you end up in sort of a groupthink. Mm-hmm. And you can't help but be accidentally influenced by what you're hearing, right? And even no matter how independent you are, I think if you start hearing something over and over again by the group, it may achieve some level of importance that may not really be part of your individual path. So really, by being totally independent and just sort of cycling and spiraling out on my own, I come to things that are pretty unique and kind of wonderful, and they don't always mesh with the mainstream, but that's okay.
Yeah.
But that's kind of one of the larger reasons that I have not ended up going to any conferences. I'm not against it. It just hasn't worked out.
Yeah. Okay. Let's switch gears a little bit and talk about Google Plus. You were one of the first people that I noticed that would just sort of took the bull by the horns and jumped in and started exploring. Everyone else was talking about, is this the Facebook killer? Is this going to replace Twitter? Is, you know, blah, 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 all this stuff. And meanwhile, Trey is in there poking around, uploading photos and using the service, you know, I guess like Google intended it to be used. First off, the first question is, what do you think about Google Plus? Is it the Facebook killer? You know, should we be on Google Plus and forsake all others?
Well, all of my information is totally anecdotal, of course, but I can give you something that is as objective as possible. And I think it is fantastic for photographers. If you're the kind of photographer that simply enjoys sharing your work, the same way, you know, my five-year-old daughter, she draws a picture of a unicorn with rainbows and everything, and then she just runs around the house showing it to everybody. You know, there's no ego involved. She just wants to share her creation with the world. And if that is your mindset, then I think Google Plus is fantastic for you. You know, if you come into it with some sort of a commercial motivation, or you come into it with you know, sort of impure premises, then it may not eventuate into the world that you want it to become. Mm-hmm. But so far, what I see is when I put photos up, I get an incredible level of user engagement. And I haven't seen that anyplace else. It's not just me, it's other photographers as well. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of really interesting, good, emerging, and veteran photographers on here. And I'm not sure exactly what it is or why it is, but I get so many comments so quickly, and it completely swamps my Facebook fan page, where we have about 20,000 fans or whatever they're called. Mm-hmm. And then on Twitter, I think I have about 25,000 followers, like with the right kind of ratio, so on and so forth. And of course, we get comments and feedback on those, but we get about 10x that on Google Plus.
Jeez.
And Google Plus has only been out for a week.
Yeah.
So I think it's going in a really interesting direction. I think one of the best things about it is there's little UI things that make it incredible to find and follow new people.
Like what? Going to depth on that.
Like, for example, I mentioned that we're about to do this hangout together. Mm-hmm. And I put it up on my stream, and then I put like plus Frederick Van Johnson. Mm-hmm. And so people can just hover over that with their mouse and put you into a circle right away. You know, they might not know who you are for sure. You might just sort of be an acquaintance. You might not have been upgraded to friend yet, or intense follower or whatever. But it makes it so easy to start following people and get new input. And it's not just me that's getting a lot more followers than usual. It's a lot of other people as well, a lot of other photographers, because people on Google Plus, they just crave really interesting media. So I think it's going to be huge.
Go into depth on that, because that's one thing that I'm a little bit foggy on, because I'll boot up Google Plus and it says, like right now, it says 189 new people are sharing with you, plus 177 more. I don't know what that means. So I'm in like Twitter and Facebook mindset, as we've all been conditioned to be in, where, okay, someone is following on Twitter, that means they can see what you're doing, but you have to follow them back and all this stuff. And Facebook, you have to allow them to become a friend of yours. What's a friend? What's a family? You know, what's a circle? Go into that a little deeper.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'm happy to discuss the basics, because it is a little bit of a new paradigm.
It is, yeah.
It's a fantastic way to organize the people in your real world and your virtual world. And it's very much like Twitter in that you can follow anybody, and it doesn't have to be a mutual follow for you to see what they're doing. This is, of course, a problem in Facebook for a lot of people when you reach sort of a friend limit.
Yeah.
And also, it's a little bit scary to say that you're friends with somebody. No one really knows what that means yet. We're trying to redefine friends as we go forward. But sorry, let me mute this person that just jumped in.
Yeah.
So you can make all sorts of different circles, okay? So for example, I have, and one of the default circles that's there in Google Plus is acquaintances. So these are people that I might have just loosely met, or someone that I've kind of seen online I think is interesting and I kind of want to check them out for a while. Mm-hmm. Then I have another circle called friends. And these are people that basically would pick me up from the airport if I asked them to.
Yeah, okay? Yeah.
That's what I call a friend, someone that would actually pick me up.
Yep.
And someone that I would pick up, you know, likewise.
Yeah, that's your metric there is the airport.
Yeah, it is.
Does it matter which airport?
I guess it might. Yeah. And then I have another circle called family. Mm-hmm. And so whenever I share something, you can choose which circle it's going to go to. Is this going to go to friends? Is it going to go to public, everybody in the world? Is it just going to go to family? And the nature of putting people into these circles is a very fun thing. You kind of pick them up in this fun little GUI and you drop them into this little circle. And it's really kind of cool and it's satisfying. And there's something very nice about it. It's hard to put my finger on, but I think that's the nature of something fun.
Yeah.
You can't describe why it's fun. It just is.
Yeah. Do you think you, so not, I know you, this, it, the service is a week old, so, you know, it's hard to draw any vectors of where it's going to be and the successes and all that. But do you think Google, in terms of overall UI, you know, I think, in my opinion, Google Plus sort of says, okay, Google doesn't, you know, before everyone was saying Google has no idea what UI is. They're a company that's run by engineers and it shows in their products. Google Plus is sort of shaking that up a little bit and showing that, oh, they can actually make a pleasant, easy to use, inviting UI. Do you think Google is now leading in terms of like UI with regard to social networking? Because you look at Twitter and Facebook and, you know, we're used to those. This is something completely new.
Yeah, it's a very clever evolution what they've done here, because pretty much all the hardcore Twitter users and all the hardcore Facebook users, they are finding this to be a more satisfying user interface.
Yeah.
And I think part of it is, and it kind of struck me the other day, is that I don't have a wall that people can paste to, like that they can do their, they can invite me to a group, or, you know, I don't see these game updates, so on and so forth. And so that element of it is much nicer than Facebook. The element of it that's much nicer than Twitter, I think, is that there's rich media that comes into the stream rather than just this matrix of bit.ly links, right? Mm-hmm. Which you're very reticent to click on. I mean, we're all so busy. Even if someone I'm particularly interested in puts a bit.ly link in Twitter, I'm like, all right, am I going to spend 10 seconds of my life to go click on this link?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, isn't that sad that we're like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to click on this guy's link that I actually chose to follow.
Right, right.
But when an image or a video shows up, just flowing into your Google Plus stream, it's very nice. It's a much more human way to do it because we are visual creatures and we like to see things other than just this stream of matrix text flying by our eyes.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. All right, let's just switch it to photography, right? Picasa, which seems to, in at least from my perspective, you know, having been a Lightroom guy and, you know, I share stuff up on .Mac, I use SmugMug, all this stuff. But Picasa reemerged. It was like when I started playing with Google Plus, it was like, oh, Picasa, I remember you. You know, it was Periscope up. Is Picasa back on the scene now because of Google Plus? And are you diving in? Because I noticed you have a gazillion great photos on there now.
Yes, but I think that we have the current implementation is totally inchoate. We're going to see something else come along soon. I think that Picasa is going away and it's becoming Google Photos, and they're going to change around the UI a little bit because it is a little bit of a pain, isn't it, for us photographers to I feel like I spend a good portion of my day just moving digital assets around the internet.
Yeah.
It seems a little bit silly in a way. Luckily, we have a guy at an employee here that helps me copy my stuff around. Like, I upload to SmugMug every day. SmugMug is sort of my main site for the blog.
Same here, yeah.
And then, yeah, same for you, right? Mm-hmm. And so then he goes and he copies it over to Flickr and he tags everything. And then he would also used to move everything over to Picasa, so we would have another copy there. But now it's my personal Picasa, and I don't want to let him into my Gmail, so I've been doing everything manually. And yes, anyway, your point is well taken, that it's painful to get your best works up onto yet another site. You know, I just went through this with 500 PX a couple weeks ago. You know, at some point you got to like, oh, you know, I give up.
Yeah.
But the nature of Google Plus is such that it's got a very big, beautiful viewing gallery. And if you want people to see your work and share your work, You just got to get it up in Picasa. That's all there is to it. It's not that tough.
Right.
But it's just kind of one of those things you have to go through if you want to play.
Are we looking at, because it kind of seems to me like Google was like, a sleeping giant kind of lumbering, and people were like, oh, they're not going to do anything. They're going to be the next Microsoft and, all this sort of thing. And now just Google has just burst out on the scene and almost simultaneously smacked Twitter, Facebook, and Flickr. In terms of, okay, we're not dead quite yet, so deal with this. Do you think that the guys at like Flickr and Twitter and Facebook, and Yevgeny, I see you down there, are looking at this in terms of like, okay, Google is now on our list of threats, other than, more so than they were before?
Well, for sure. I think it's probably more of a threat to Twitter than Facebook. The thing is with Facebook, that will be around for a long time because, and I don't mean this in a joking way, but really because there are so many moms on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And moms ultimately do connect the world.
So many moms on what service? Twitter? Facebook? Which one?
No, on Facebook.
Okay.
Because, when you talk to your mom on the phone or anyone does, the first 5 minutes of every conversation is, how is so-and-so doing? Are they still seeing so-and-so? Mm-hmm. Did I tell you about your sister? It's always just like these relationship updates, that moms are particularly good at keeping track of. And Facebook gives you immediate access to the entire family and the extended family network. And now that Facebook has that, it's going to be around for a very, very long time. So that doesn't mean that we don't have room in our lives for two things, particularly if you're sort of an internet kind of person like we are. You could probably spend time on Facebook and Google Plus.
Yeah.
I've noticed my Twitter time has been biggest hit by Google Plus, really. And that might be anecdotal because it's the first week. But we'll see what it'll become. It's very, very interesting. You don't have to have the end-all, be-all, one social network that will rule them all.
Right.
I think that's sort of a media fabrication that doesn't exist in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it will become what it becomes. And as long as it stays fun and fresh and you can choose how much of that fire hose you want to drink out of, I think it'll be very successful.
Yeah, I think that's a key point there. The others don't have to fail in order for Google Plus to win, right?
Right.
Speaking of failures, what do you think about Apple's Ping service in relation to this? Do you think Ping was just sort of? What do you think? I'm not gonna lead the witness. What do you think about Ping?
I don't know. I don't use it. I'm not. I love music and everything. I'm just sort of a Pandora guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really care what my friends listen to in music because
I love that. I want that quote. Somebody tweet that.
You're out with friends every now and then. They're like, oh, have you seen this movie? It's awesome. You're like, what? That's the stupidest movie ever. I think I'm going to stop taking all recommendations from
you.
So you might have really good friends that just like really awful stuff.
Subjective.
So the idea that, your friends are great sources of musical taste, I think that's sort of a faulty premise. Anyway, it's much different than photography. First say like, oh, if you like this photographer, then you'll probably like this photographer.
Yeah,
that's true, because there is something more to that. I don't know why there's a difference between the visual arts and the audio arts, but there is something there.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, we'll see. I mean, there's lots of services out there that we have to choose from, and they're all free pretty much, so
yeah,
it's exciting. So what are we going to see from your, like, what would you like Google Plus to evolve to? Because clearly we're in version 1.0, which is a great version 1.0. I think they hit it out of the park. But what's next? What are we going to see in 2012?
Well, I think the photo sharing is going to get more and more robust. There's a few problems now in that it's very hard to take an individual photo from your portfolio that exists and share that on your wall. It's sort of clumsy in that you've got to go get the URL from Picasa and then paste it into your stream.
Mm-hmm.
That feels clumsy and not clean. There is a photos tab within Google Plus that's very cool, and it shows all the photos that have been uploaded by everybody that you follow. I think I'd like to see a tweak to that where I just see photos from a certain circle, because right now I'm seeing photos from everybody, and I took time to create a photographer's circle.
Yeah.
And that would be a really nice way to get stimulation. And it really, in essence, they would just be kind of catching up with Flickr and 500px and these other sites that allow you to do this stuff already.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, I think it'll just become more and more easy and more satisfying to share your own photos and make nice photography discoveries. Because if you're like me, you love seeing other photos from all skill levels because you you get inspired by it. I think we're all visual people and we need constant stimulation. Because this inspiration inspires us to do new and better things. And so all these tools that are out there now to help speed the velocity of this inspiration, like Google Plus, I think this is trending in the right direction, and it's going to keep going and just get better and better. I really do try to be objective about it. Obviously, I'm excited about it because it's the first week and so on and so forth. But just because something's new doesn't mean you're excited about it. We see new stuff all the time.
Every day,
You're constantly deluged with new products. Yeah. I know I am. Yeah. People are always pitching me on stuff. People are always pitching you on stuff.
Yep.
And just because it's new doesn't mean we like it. There's got to be a certain je ne sais quoi there.
Yeah.
Something that really feels right and is somewhat elusive. And that's what Google Plus has. And that's why I love it.
Well, speaking of new, and to take it off Google Plus for a second, I know we've got somebody in the room from, or in the hangout from 500px down there. Is that Yevgeny down there? Anyway, so the Trey, I know you're using 500px. You know, I think you may have introduced me to them. But how are you managing your Flickr, your Smug Mug, your Picasa, your 500px? How does all this stuff come together in your world? Or do you just hire somebody to just distribute everything?
Well, yeah, we do have a big team here at Stuck in Customs that helps me out. I'm just the tip of the iceberg. I'm the only one that you see, but I really thank everybody that's around here. It's it really makes my life easier. But we do have this master Google Docs spreadsheet that has like the name. Every day I release a new photo on the blog, mm-hmm. on Stuck in Customs. And that quickly gets replicated across all the various services. So in this master spreadsheet, we have the name of the photo, we have the description, we have the tags, and then we have a different column for each of the services. So we have a column for Smug Mug, a column for Flickr, a column for Picasa, a column for 500px. And it's just sort of a never-ending Sisyphean spreadsheet. Mm-hmm. That's how things go, and it seems to work out pretty well.
Yeah.
It's not the best system.
So one of your assistants takes that spreadsheet or looks at it and says, okay, this image on, the 12th of July goes to these four services, and these are the different resolutions that are optimal for these services, and I need to upload it at this particular time. Go. Rinse and repeat every day.
That's right. Yeah, we have a nice little logistical system that we're constantly tweaking. There's no right way to do it, of course, because this is the wild, wild west of digital asset management across various clouds.
Yeah.
Right? You're not just dealing with one cloud, you're dealing with four clouds.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you manage all that and keep track of it? It's not easy, I'll tell you. But we're learning as we go, and it's you kind of, in a way, you almost have to have the right attitude when you approach it. I'm going to tackle this problem, I'm going to roll over it, I'm going to have fun with it, I'm going to get to know all these various systems and really understand them from the inside out. And when you kind of approach it with that attitude rather than just being like, oh my gosh, I'm so overwhelmed, I give up, I'm just going to stick with this one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I understand how hard it can be, but we try to have a really good attitude about it, and we're a team and we're sharing, and we get as much out of this as other people. So the more you put into it, the more you get out of it.
Yeah.
And really, the internet needs to know about you as a person and as an artist. And if you don't digitally extend your natural self, then you're kind of not really doing everything you can. You know, there's a point of absolute failure and time cycles in a day where you just can't do anymore. So just, you know, do what you can, and it gets easier with time.
Are we going to see, are you going to add a column for Apple's iCloud when that gets released?
Well, that's a good question. I don't, this is still a big problem for me, and I think it's a big problem for a lot of photographers, is my master mother load of photography. I don't really have anywhere, right? Mm-hmm. All you see in these various clouds is what I happen to publish on the blog.
Yeah.
But I don't like have all my original RAWs. I have, for example, 48,000 unprocessed photos, which are just sitting here at home on these, you know, series of drawboats.
It's a crime.
And it's so much stuff. It's too much to upload to the cloud in any kind of timely way. And I know there's things like Crash Plan and so on and so forth, yep. But they don't really feel perfectly right to me yet. And I don't think iCloud is going to have enough space for me to upload everything.
Yeah.
It takes forever to get things to Amazon S3, and that would be expensive. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping something comes along in 2012, 2013, it's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. It could be catastrophic as well. If you've got everything in one place on a bunch of drobos and, you know, you're in Texas, a tornado comes by, you're in trouble.
Yeah. Well, I have a series of drobos and I put them at different friends' houses and we're always cycling them around.
Yeah.
But that feels very, you know, I used to go to LAN parties and do gaming all the time. Right. And we used to carry these giant 17-inch monitors that were like 100 pounds. Right. And you set them up in the garage and then you'd hook everything up. You know, now we look back, we think, oh my gosh, I can't believe I used to carry around those giant things to Quake parties. But now, I mean, I think in 10 years we'll look back and like, remember when we used to carry around drobos to our friend's house?
Yeah.
We were nerds.
Exactly. Exactly.
But you know, what can you do? You got to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's they say the settlers take the arrows, right? So you're at the beginning, You're at the beginning of all this. Well, cool. Well, Trey, I know you, you've got things to do. You are about to take off and go on. Somebody's holding up an applause. I love that. That's awesome. That is awesome. Trey, unpack the red. There you go. Tell us about the red. Where are you about to take the red to?
I'm taking it to France and Switzerland and going to try to do some experiments with it.
Well, tell us what the red, for the people who don't know what a red is, what's the red?
Well, Red is a company that makes these really kind of cutting edge cameras.
Yep.
And they just came out with a new one called the Red Epic. And it takes extremely high resolution digital media at very high frame rates.
Yeah.
And like James Cameron just ordered 50 of them to film the new Avatar. Peter Jackson got like 30 of them for The Hobbit. And so in a way it can be used for film, right?
Yeah.
You can film all the way up to, you know, 300 frames per second. Or it can be used for photography. And I think this is a whole other topic, mm-hmm. but I think that we're going in a direction where you no longer take a bunch of photos, right? But I think you take 2 or 3 seconds of video, and then you go through there and you pop out the hero frame,
you extract,
which is a raw file, and then you process that. Because, you know, if you really look at the trajectory of things, the thing is that cameras get faster and faster. One of the primary things people wonder about is how many frames per second can your Nikon D3S shoot? And, you know, you look at model shoots and so on and so forth, and they're just clicking like crazy,
yeah.
right? Because they want to get as many frames as possible. So why not just take in 96 frames per second? You know,
yeah.
if 10 frames per second isn't enough, why not go 96 frames per second?
And just tell the model
to
move.
Totally different way. Right. Yeah. Just jostle around and I'll get something. but you know, it's but of course that has big effects on lighting. It has huge effects on workflow. Mm-hmm.
Storage.
Storage. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything is changing. So that's about half the reason I have this, is because it's so uncomfortable and it feels like the direction things are going, and I want to experiment to try different things. So that's part of the impetus for getting this.
So you're going to take that, you're going to hop on a plane in a little bit and take that to France with you. Are we going to see some more stuck in motion type experiments since you have such obscenely high frame rates?
Probably so. We'll get on the Parisian subways, and we're taking trains all over Switzerland and everything, so we might get some of that footage. And frankly, I don't know what I'm doing.
That's another tweet, you know, right there. Perfect.
But I'm very comfortable in this space of not knowing where I'm going, and actually being incredibly uncomfortable and not having a total command of your environment and kind of rolling with it. I think that's an important place for people to be as artists. And it was, frankly, I was a little that way when I got my first like big camera, when I got the D2X. I really only understood about a very small percentage of what I was getting into. Mm-hmm. You know, since then, I have D3X and D3S, and not that I have mastered this high-end Nikon stuff by any means, but I do feel extremely comfortable with these cameras. They are really just natural biomechanical extensions of my arm and my spirit.
I love it.
So I feel very comfortable with them. Now, this new Red Epic, I do not feel comfortable with at all. But I think the process of us getting to know each other is going to be very interesting artistically.
Well, they say, you know, for you to really get to know somebody, you have to travel with them. So you're taking it on a trip. You're taking it on a trip. So you will definitely get to know the Epic. Are you taking any other backup cameras? Are you going to lock yourself into getting great images with the Epic only?
No, I'll take the D3X too, because, you know, I know I can depend on that if I really want to capture something.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Trey, we'll let you go. Where, for the folks that don't know you and are watching this interview, where can they go to find out more about Trey Radcliffe and the stuff that you're up to?
The epicenter of everything is just stuckincustoms.com, and then I'm available on all the social networks. If you just, you know, look for Trey Radcliffe, I'm around somewhere in a fairly obvious spot, I guess.
Yes, you have littered the social media universe with yourself, so we're good. We're happy that you're around.
Well, that was poetic in an awful sort of way, so thank
that
you.
Was a backhanded sort of thing. Well, we're friends, I can say that too. Well, cool, Trey. Thanks for jumping in at the last minute and let me twist your arm into doing this, and thank you for suggesting that we record this as a Google Hangout. I think it's been great. So folks that are watching this in the Hangout, give me a thumbs up if you think this went well, or sideways if it sucked, or awesome. Very cool. All right, two thumbs up from 500px over there. All right, awesome. Cool. All right, Trey, thank you very much, and vaya con Dios.
All right, bye, Fred. Thanks.